August 23, 2023. It's a Watt from Pedro show. Thank you.
never arrive. And all your forests and your dusty old VHS. You're the corner of a pink chip wall. Now an army green watering can. A movie that has no beginning, where no ending. The law pushed the heart of the sea. Creeping on tiptoes, a shameless imposter. You find a host in me. My reluctance and irrelevance. Did you ever leave?
Watford Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Start off with John Coltrane. I want to talk about you. A live excerpt from November 18, 1961. And then we had Kenichi Yamada, Uncle Kid, and Cotton with Silent Blue. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their scab invention, I got with me Bill and Cotton. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hello.
Absolutely glad to have you. We got to give credit to Scotty Irvin for the connect. Thank you, Brother Scotty.
For sure. How's it going, Mr. Scott, out there?
I had to fucking, you know, I've been doing this show 22 years, 4 months, and I fucking had the monitor on, so there's a little echo there, people. That wasn't supposed to be. I'm still fucking blowing clams, huh? Keep it humble. So who wants to go first, Bill or you, Cotton? Because I want to check out your musical journey.
Yeah, I can take it, man.
Okay, Bill, yeah. Bring your earliest musical memory.
My earliest musical
Remember, it's a Watford Pedro show.
Deep Purple, Made in Japan, and headphones when I was like 5. I started buying records, so.
Okay. Made in Japan. That was a popular record.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was big.
When I was a teenager, I was born in 1957, so I don't know if we're around.
Right, you got 10 years on me.
Oh, okay. But it was big for a long time. I mean, because it had like all their hits and played good versions, you know?
Yeah. It was a staple.
Yeah, so that's your earliest thing. Now, the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
No, I had to go and get my own when I was probably about 15. I started playing bass, and I grew up around no musical instruments.
Well, let me ask you about school. Marching band or the choir?
I did some chorus.
Okay. Well, no, the voice is a fucking instrument, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Okay.
Probably one of the earliest ones, right next to feet and beating on your chest with your hands or something.
Oh, well, we still do that as well.
Yeah, we still do that, right. Yeah. And yodeling. First record you bought with your own money, was it that Deep Purple? No, you were only 5.
No, but I was 5 when I bought my own. It was Grand Funk Shining On.
Oh, okay. I remember Grand Funk. They were huge.
Yeah, it was the one with the, you could punch out the 3D glasses on the cover. And see
everything. Oh, yeah, that was later on.
Red, blue. Yeah.
I remember they had one that was a big, I think it was called E Pluribus Funk. It had like, it was like a big coin.
Yeah. Then there was a survival where they all looked like cavemen. They're all wearing loincloths.
Well, the big one in Pedro when I was in junior high school was the red one where they changed your name from Grand Funk Railroad to Grand Funk. Everybody.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
You didn't even have to play
about.
It. You just put it in your living room so when people walked in, they saw you had it, so you were cool. 70s people were very narcissist people. Let me ask you this. First gig you saw live.
First gig I saw live, it would be either, if you don't count Beatlemania, the original Beatlemania, would be the Moody Blues.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good bands. I'm just a singer in a rock and roll band, right?
Yeah.
But then they also had, I think we just lost the Ordinary
When you're like an 8, you know, when you're that young, you just take what you can get, man. I didn't get to go to the cool clubs for another few years, you know. So
yeah, I think a couple can. Actually, Jim Gordon, who am I thinking of? Traffic, right?
Traffic,
yeah. So Jim Gordon, the guy who killed his mom with the claw hammer.
Was he in Traffic? I know he played with.
Well, he played on that album, Low Spark of the High Heel Boys. He's also on Ricky Don't Lose It. I mean, he could build a drum track, but he was out of his fucking head, and we just lost him.
Yeah. He did his mama wrong, I guess.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
So just say no to drogas. So you told me something about 15 years old and you get a bass guitar. Why did you choose bass?
I chose bass because all my friends told me, guitar players are a dime a dozen, but if you rule on bass, you'll rule ever, you know.
Those are some good friends.
I always had a job, you know. So.
Those are some good friends. Well, yeah. You know, a lot of guitar players did switch over to bass because, yeah, no one really wanted to rock it, right? I mean, even Per Ubu. I don't know if you know about Per Ubu, but at first, before they got Tony, they kept trading off between Tim Wright and Tom Herman because, you got to do it. It's like taking out the trash or something. I don't know. Anyway.
I switched to guitar, and now I can't find any bass players. So
shows to go, you right? But look, I'm a little prejudiced towards bass, so I want to know what was your first bass? What kind?
Oh, it was like one of those shitty Sears fucking P-Bass models, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even remember the
Buddy Connell.
You know, the off-brand.
And probably good workout on your hands, probably action, like 1 foot.
Oh, yeah. And plus, I was left-handed, and nobody hit me to, like, I was playing it upside down for a couple months. And they're like, oh, no, strange.
You know who's like that? Kay. You know, I had a two-bass band called Dose, and Kay, she just thought, because she's southpaw, and she thought, well, the strong hand's supposed to be the one that's doing all the fretting. So,
She started the same way.
Yeah, she learned that way. She didn't even flip it over. She thought, oh, yeah. So, now, I'm not talking about after school, like graduating, but after school in the afternoon, did you get into the basement band, bedroom band, garage band thing?
No. I was like right on that. I had a couple friends that were, but, but right after I graduated high school, everything just was super fast for me. So, and always playing, a lot of playing. But, up until high school, no, man. I graduated until there was a band I played, I forgot about this. I played in a bar band covers when I was like 15. But, I don't know. You know, playing covers, I always forget about.
No, but that brings up a good point about learning. So, because like me and D. Boone, there was this guy who lived in his car, Roy Mendez Lopez. He taught D. Boone guitar. But a lot of our learning was copying songs, trying to copy songs off records. So that's probably what you were doing for that band, right?
Yeah. It was just a bunch of guys 10 years older than me that were a bar band. And I have no idea how I ran into these guys. But they just kind of adopted me. I forget about a lot of things, too.
That's all right. Maybe there's a reason for that. But you self-taught?
Yes, okay. Completely. Yes.
Because I've had people on the show where the worst thing they had in their life was a music teacher. Other people said it was a real
and
good thing.
I also used to plug in a lot of effect boxes and stuff, and I had nobody was doing like making, you know, I didn't know about can or anything esoteric like that, you know, in high school. So I was making all these noises that didn't make sense to anybody else. They made sense to me, and now they make sense. But
with the weird sounds, then maybe you were composing.
Well, I guess we're all composing in a way.
Well, or copying songs off records. Trying to.
Yeah.
No, I got to ask that. Because,
I would
man,
give myself
and D.
too
Boone,
much credit if I said it was composition, Mike.
but do you remember when you first started writing songs?
Yeah. Right after high school, first band. Yeah.
Can you remember the first song you wrote?
No.
That's all right. I wrote only one song. See, this is why I asked this question. No one we knew in Pedro wrote songs. Even the best guy, you know, guy who could play Black Dog the best, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody, yeah, until the movement came, about 76. That's when we graduated high school. So, and then these guys just learning how to play were writing songs. We were like, what the fuck? What were we doing? Look, you gave me this stuff here called Mopar Mountain Daredevils.
Yeah.
I want to play that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, fuck it. Okay.
That's it. We're breaking up over there.
Yeah, I think this is going to be our last show. So, this is called God is a Basshead. God is a plumber. My God is a drag queen. God is a dumpster. God is Vaseline. God is AIDS. God is war. God is a priest. God is a whore. God is an airplane. God is a slumlord. God is Soul Train.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off Mopar Mountain Daredevils doing Ripple. Hopefully not the wine, huh? Rock. I don't even think that shit was fermented. I think that's where they add just the grain Everclear to the Kool-Aid shit. Ryan Carraher, brand new. He's got a new record. He was going to give up music, but he's back in it. You go, Ryan. Volt Snuffer is the name of the tune. Yeah, I love getting messages like that. You know what? I was going to give up, but fuck it. Here's the next record. Jeff Bishop and Pandelis Karyorgis after that with Ledge. Bombus Prendon, Anathema Briefa is in the tune. These are VCU cats. Speaking of Richmond, right? I think recorded 5,000-6,000 songs, maybe did 5-6 gigs in 30, 40 years. That's an interesting band. Fence Post after that, out of England. Preparation, 50 six. No, 76. Roman numerals. I got fooled again. Comb, Roman numeral two. Splotch. This is live New York City, 1993. God is a basshead. And it's that with two S's, people. So, yeah. Chuck D, right? How low can you go? RO4, K. Hal, explain with the collab out of Tokyo with Hatsu Haru. And then finally, Masaru Tabata and Casino with Reflection. Incidentally, we're going to talk now about music journey, early days. Cotton, please bring your earliest musical memory.
Earliest musical memory.
Hi.
I don't know. I wanted a keyboard, and I asked my father if I can buy a keyboard, and he said we have them in the attic. So I looked there, and I found a synthesizer.
Ah, so your memory is actually playing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Can you remember the first record you bought with your own money?
T-Rex? Is that yours?
No, it wasn't my first record, but first gig I saw with B. Boone. Yeah, I was 14 years old, 1973, and... No, I was 15 years old, and me and D. Boone saw T-Rex. It was a slider tour.
Oh, that beats the movie blues.
But the first record I got was a 45. It was a Canadian band called The Guess Who, and the song was called American Woman. Right? It's like, it's got one part. It don't even have a backbeat, actually. It's bizarre. It's kind of a trippy tune. Anyway, so your first record was a T-Rex record, huh?
That was you, I thought. No, it's not me. I don't remember first I bought the record. I was keep stealing the record. I didn't think I'm going to buy the record in the first place. So,
No, that's one reason I asked the question, because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So
yeah.
I'm curious about, if you did have money, what would you spend it on? That's why I asked that question. Remember, it's a Watch from Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. Yeah. What was the first gig you saw?
First show, hi. Show. I saw the first show. That's a Japanese band that's called Uchōten. They're like a makeup band, and they sound like a Devo. Is it Devo? The redhead, red hat one?
Yeah.
Ohio. Yeah, it was very fun.
Yeah, was it Livehouse?
Yeah, Clubhouse.
Yeah. Livehouse, let me tell the listeners, that's kind of the club scene over in Japan. Really good sound systems. Sometimes on the 6th, 7th floor, like one-man elevator. It takes a long time to get the people in.
Yep.
Beers inside vending machine, you know. But a really good sound and stuff. And I played, I did 22 gigs in 22 days. I played live houses all over, all four islands, big islands.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was beautiful. It was when my third opera came out. So let me ask you, what about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
A school?
Yeah.
A high school?
Any school.
Yeah.
Any school.
I went to the music school. But I joined the band. Because the good-looking guy's band. So I was supposed to play keyboard.
Yeah.
I couldn't play, but anyway. So that's the first one, probably.
Okay. Did you take keyboard lessons from a teacher? Outside of school?
I had a lesson to piano, the classic one.
Ah.
I wasn't interested.
Yeah, so now I've had people on.
With teacher.
I've had guests on the show. It almost made them want to quit music, having the piano lesson experience. Yeah. It's like horrible.
Yep.
I'd say 98% of the people who've had them on my show hated it. But
yep.
Some people it was good. But, and I think it's... It has to do with the teacher. I don't think a lot of people are gifted in that area.
Yeah, I was more interested by looking at her breast or touching her breast or something like that.
Oh, a little hentai. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, now we got that cleared up. That's why we all get into music anyway, right? Want to touch a teacher. Want to touch a teacher. All right. Now, did you get into any bands after, not after school graduate, but in the afternoon? I don't know in Japan if there was like a garage band or a basement band, a bedroom band scene. Did you play with your friends outside of school?
It's not in a high school time, but I had a music little, what is it, a tech school, a two-year school.
Yeah.
I had a band, and we practiced, and we had a show, and it's called Mardi Gras Blue Heaven. It's a four-piece girl band.
And was that your first gig?
Yeah.
And how did it go?
It went... I don't remember. It went well, I think.
Okay. And you said it was a four-lady band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Including me, yeah.
And what'd you play, keyboard?
No, I was vocal. I wanted to play bass, but I had no talent of playing those things. So.
Yeah.
So the member said, you should sing, okay? Yeah. I sing.
No, like I told Bill, the voice is an instrument. Probably one of the earliest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So... In fact, there's a great lady right now. That's all she does, a musician in Tokyo. You know Tenko? Tenko, she had that band, Tamamizu Shobadan, Polka Dot Fire Brigade, yeah, years ago. And then she went on her own and bought solo guitar and stuff, and now she just does singing. So
yeah.
Why not? You know, full loop. So, how long did this band last? Did this band record? Did they tour?
Yeah, we toured in Japan.
Okay.
But we don't have much of a place to tour, so only Osaka or Tokyo or Kyoto.
Big towns.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we released the record from, L.A. label, and I thought we were going to overseas, but they said they don't want to challenge it. So that's the first step I stepped down. So I want to go overseas. Then the AMT, Makoto Kawabata called. So
I should tell the listeners, Acid Mother Temple.
Yeah, Acid Mother Temple. So yeah. I joined.
How'd that happen? Right how did you make that connection? Because they're Osaka people, right?
No, they're basically Nagoya people.
Oh, really? Well, I think I and Yoshimi are in Nara, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was in a, main...
Motoko Kawabata, he's an Osaka guy, though, I think, originally.
Probably.
Okay, so I'm wondering, because I know in the old days there was big rivalry between Tokyo and Osaka with punk scene. Like Boredoms, right? Seiji Yamamoto and the Osaka crew, Yoshimi and I. And then the Tokyo thing, more like the Stalin.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I think Fuson, too. She was Osaka, but then she ends up Tokyo. Anyway, yeah, because I'm kind of late to the scene, so I wasn't there in the day. I was too busy here in the United States. So, but this band you were in, they actually did record. That's great. But the U.S. people wouldn't put out the rec. Fuck them. Look, we're at the end of first hour, August 23, 2023 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Special guest Bill Cott. Hold tight for hour two. August 23, 2023, it's the second hour of Watt from Pedro Show. For Pedro show, we start off the second hour with Yuma's Dream from Layari with C and B. I'm guessing that's Cotton and Bill.
Yep.
Don't be afraid to answer. Remember, we had a band here in the old days called the Gears, and they had a song called "Don't Be Afraid to Pogo." Yeah, I mean the lyrics were hilarious. And they were like serious too, like don't be afraid to pogo, don't be afraid to relate. If it wasn't for this kind of music, you wouldn't be in this place. I got a reason to pogo. I got a reason to relate. Too much.
What year is that, man?
Early 80s.
Nice.
Yeah, they came from, I remember the guitar man was from the Controllers.
Oh, yeah.
So if you remember them, yeah, they were early days too.
Yeah.
His name was Kid Spike. You know, the good old days where everybody had a fake name. I love everybody. You know, in those days, they thought me and D. Boone had fake names. You know, everybody else did. But ours were real. So, how does Bill and Cotton start playing together? How do you meet each other?
Well, I was between jobs and they needed a driver and in the U.K., So I went over and we met. And
now, when you say they, you're talking about Acid Mother Temple, right?
Yes, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah, so through them we met and just stayed connected, you know. So married a year later.
You're saying Acid Mother Temple, they want to do a tour in England. Or United Kingdom, and we need a driver. Let's call up Bill in Virginia. I mean, how did they know you?
I saw it. They had a, you remember like the BBS pages before? It's kind of just like an online forum.
No, I remember. They were called bulletin
boards.
Yeah, this
is like in 2003. Okay. And I saw the posting that said they needed a driver and a van. I told them I couldn't provide a van. But I could drive. And this was through a guy named Andy who has a label called Riot Season in the UK, in Birmingham. And, yeah, he put me in touch with Makoto. And, yeah, that was it. I met him and halfway through, Cotton and I just felt like staying together and we did.
Can you remember the first music you did together?
I sat in with her and Higashi from AMT. They had a unit called the Pardons, and we did that in somewhere in southern England, maybe Southampton or something. Yeah, and then we just we actually started playing gigs before we ever even practiced together.
What were you playing? Bass?
I would play bass and guitar, then I ditched the bass after the first tour and just did guitar. And sometimes we would go super jam Econo, the two of us.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'd pick up some friends from England, some friends from Norway. Try to play as much as we could.
Like this tune here, Yuma's Dream. Who's Liari?
Oh, that's something newer. That was right after the pandemic hit.
Okay.
That was somebody who contacted Cotton. I think he's in Spain. I really don't know much about that.
So it was like trading
for mails.
Trading files over the internet.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Everything on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was these. Well, look. We can use the internet to spread lies and hate, or we can collab and do interesting music projects. Dealer's choice, right?
Yeah. I hate the internet. It's a useful tool. There's so much fluff to get past.
Bill, think of it like a steak knife, right? You could cut your steak or you could cut your body.
Yeah.
It's the dilemma of being human, right? We can always make the wrong choice. Okay.
Hey, your engineer forgot to put in the cymbal crash there, dude.
Oh.
is he asleep at the wheel or what?
Right. Here, you know... No, but Watson man alone mode right here. Now there's these two tunes at the end of that chunk of music. La Novia McCotton / The Dreamer, The Pardons DX! !
Yep.
Explain, please.
What's explaining?
It's with how's it two tracks, one track. It's listed as one track, but
that's you did.
You're blaming it on me.
Or we don't have to know about so much that.
Oh no,
I'm more interested in.
I think it's simply a crossfade, and whoever did the mastering on it didn't master it as two tracks. They sent it as one. I think it's as simple as that.
Well, I'm interested more. I mean, I love the music, but I'm interested in the organization of the people who produced it. Like, what is Matt Cotton and what is the Pardons DX?
Matt Cotton is Cotton with Makoto Kawabata. That's your mother's temple.
Okay. Makoto Cotton.
Yeah, Makoto.
You understand, Scotty Irvin has a band with myself and Benji Johnson with Makoto Kawabata called Spirit of Hamlet. Small World.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. What's the deal on that?
Well, he just sent me drums. I pretended he was in the room here, and I just played bass to it, and it became an album. Now Benji just gave me tracks for round two, so it's going to be second album. Now, what is The Pardons?
Nice. The Pardons is Cheap Cotton and Replace Makoto with Hiroshi Higashi from Acid Mother's Temple.
Okay. Okay.
They started The Pardons back in as a side project, probably around 99, 2000. They were the two frontline synth players.
Sure.
So that it was all synth mania there, you know.
Yep.
Synth mania. I like that. And I like the idea of a dreamer and Yuma's dream. Yeah, okay. A lot of dreaming going on. Oh, I forgot. Sandwich in the middle. What we call the baloney seat here in Pedro. Like, you know, on the airplane. The cokey fucking baloney seat, right?
Yeah.
Anything goes by the Losers, Pedro band. Even though Ike's touring band right now is called the Losers. Okay. Here's more Mopar Mountain Daredevils. I got to learn about them. This is Unseen. Listen.
Can you hear me? Is someone? Can you hear me? Is someone there? Can you hear me? Is someone? Can you hear me? Is someone there? Can you hear me? Is someone? No, it's not coming. Can you hear me? There's no one. Someone there. We're missing something. Can you hear me? We're missing something. Is someone afraid? Can you? No. Can you hear me? It's not coming through. Is someone there? No. Can you? There's no one at the other end. I'm afraid. Can you listen something? Can you hear me? Is someone? I'm afraid. I'm missing something. Can you? I'm afraid. Can you hear me? Is someone there? There was a. It's not coming through. Can you? A concern? Can you hear me at the other end? I'm afraid. We're missing something. Can you? No one. We're missing something. Can you hear me? I'm afraid. Someone there? It's not. Can you? No. I'm afraid. It's not coming through. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? There's no one. Someone afraid. What were they? We're missing something, I'm afraid. Can you hear me? There's someone there, is it? I'm afraid. Concern? A legitimate concern? Can you hear me? I'm afraid. It's not coming through. A legitimate concern? There's no one, someone. There's no one at the other end. Can you? There's no one there. We're missing something. Hear me. What were they after? Not. Is someone there? We're missing something. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. What were they? Can you hear me? I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Can you hear me? It's not coming through. I'm afraid. Not.
concern.
There's no one there.
We've read the report.
I'm afraid of a concern.
I've read the report.
Can you hear me?
What was it they were really after?
There's no one there.
What were they? What was it?
A legitimate concern.
He's feeling sick now. I'm afraid.
What was it they were really after?
He's feeling scared.
I've read the report.
It's
a legitimate concern.
We've read the report.
A legitimate concern.
Can you hear me?
I don't know why.
What was it happening?
Can you hear me?
He's afraid.
There's no one there.
A legitimate concern.
He's feeling sick now.
He wants to know who prayed and really after.
Someone is coming to help.
What was it?
What? I read the report.
No one there.
I'm not sure why.
There's a legitimate concern.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
They really are concerned.
Can you hear me?
He's embracing a legitimate
concern.
Someone is going to help.
A legitimate concern.
A legitimate concern.
He's feeling wrong now.
What was it?
He's feeling scared.
He's worried about why.
He wants to know why.
I've read the report.
He wants to know.
He's a legitimate concern.
What's going to happen?
Can you hear me?
We have your concerns.
He wants to know what they
are. Can you hear me?
What is it?
He wants to know why.
There's no one there.
A legitimate concern.
He wants to know.
What was it?
I'm afraid
he wants to know why.
We're not sure why.
We want to know.
Can you hear me?
He's afraid. He wants to know.
Can you hear
someone
me?
Someone is coming to help.
There's no one there.
There's no one.
He's feeling sick.
He wants. There's someone coming.
He wants to know why.
He wants to know why.
He wants to know why.
What's going to happen?
There's someone coming.
Read the report.
Someone is coming to help.
He wants to know your faith.
There's someone
else. He wants to know why.
Doesn't know why.
He wants to know.
Is there someone coming?
No, someone is coming to help.
He wants to know.
No.
What's going to happen?
He wants to know.
No.
He wants to know.
No.
Is there someone coming?
No.
He wants to know why.
Just feeling sick.
No. He wants to know.
He wants to know why.
He doesn't know why.
We're not sure why.
No. He wants to know.
He read the report.
He's coming to help.
Is there someone coming?
No.
He wants to pray.
He wants to know why.
He doesn't know why.
He doesn't know why.
Someone coming?
He's feeling sick.
No.
He wants to know.
He wants to know
what's going to happen to him.
Someone is coming to help.
No.
Is there someone coming?
Not sure why.
He wants
someone there.
I heard the report.
He doesn't know why.
Is there someone there?
He wants to know why.
No. Is there someone coming?
Is there someone there?
He wants to know why.
Is there someone
who's coming to help?
He wants to know.
Is there someone
who's going to happen to him?
Is there someone there?
He doesn't know why.
Is there someone there?
No,
there's
someone.
Is there someone there?
No.
No.
Is there someone there?
I've read the report.
He wants to know why.
Is there someone
else? Sorry, sir.
Is there someone there?
I can't tell you that.
Is there someone
there?
Someone there?
I haven't known. I said I'm sorry. That's, I haven't been paying myself lately. I said I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry. Can you answer? I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry. What's happening? There's a. I said I'm sorry. I haven't. What's there's something going on? I said I'm sorry. What's and something? I said I'm sorry. There's something going on. I said I'm sorry. What's going on? I said I haven't something. I said I'm sorry. There's a. What's been happening? I've read the report. There's something going on. Can you answer?
They died.
And something. I said I'm sorry. What's happening? There's a.
Read the news.
I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry. There's something going on. What's been happening?
I read a news report.
I said I'm sorry.
And something.
What? I read a news report. There's a. I said I'm sorry. There's something going on. I said I'm sorry. What's going on? Something. I said I'm sorry. What's been happening? There's something going on.
I said I'm sorry. They died.
I can't remember.
Something.
I said I'm sorry.
I read a news report.
There's a.
I read a news report.
You. I said I'm sorry. There's something going on.
But there's two people. They died.
There's a.
I read a news report.
I said I'm sorry.
I can't remember the
details. There's something going on.
I read a news report. I can't remember the details.
There's something going on.
What are the places?
I can't remember the details.
I can't remember the details. The name to the world matters in good news. It made me cry. The name made me cry. It made me cry. I'm sorry to do this to you, but I can't remember the words. It made me cry. Something. Sorry to make you cry. I can't remember the details.
The name made me cry.
I read a newspaper. It made me cry. And it made me cry.
The name.
I'm sorry to do this to you. It made me cry. It made me cry. I'm sorry to do this to you. It made me cry.
It made me cry.
It made me cry.
Sorry to do this to you.
Wrong, but with me. I can't remember names. It made me cry.
I'm sorry to do this to you.
It made me cry.
I can't remember the details.
I'm sorry to do this to you.
I was wrong with me.
It made me cry.
It made me cry.
I'm sorry to do this to you.
But
it made me cry.
It made me cry.
Something
sorry to do this to
wrong with me.
It made me cry.
It made me cry.
It made me cry.
I'm sorry to do this to you.
It made me cry.
Something's
very
made me cry.
I'm sorry to do this to you.
It made me cry.
It made me cry.
I'm sorry to do this to you.
Something's very wrong.
It made me cry.
It made me cry.
Watch for Pedro Show, that chunk of music, Unseen, from Up Our Mountain, Daredevils, and then we had Dayglow Exploded, Super Infinite, Word Sick, Zero, Brighton, England. So, Mopar Mountain Daredevils, who's in that band?
Oh, that is Cotton and myself, and Rob Girardi, who's a guitar player, producer from Baltimore. These are all Baltimore guys.
Ah.
A guy named Jack Moore, who's he owns a record store and label called El Supremo, plug, plug. Yeah. And on bass is Bob Sweeney, who's one of the best in town, although he plays guitar in most of his other bands. And Derek Hans on drums, and he's playing with various people, touring the world right now from what I hear.
Do you go to Baltimore to do this, or do you trade files?
When we moved to the States, we go to Baltimore.
Okay.
This is a real band we had. Baltimore, kind of, all our friends seemed to be from there when we first moved here. So we ended up living there for a short time, came out to the country to raise the kids, but we still keep in contact there. So, yeah, those are all, you know.
Are you familiar with a musician there named Dore? He's got a band called Network Glass.
Not familiar.
He's been on the show. He does great music. Also, there's a band called Mold Omen from Baltimore that's really good. I play their music all the time.
Oh, I'll have to check them out, man.
Yeah, Baltimore, you know, it's got a great trip. You know, all the towns do, you know. If you look close enough, if you got your mind open enough, stuff's happening all over the place. It used to be there was hip towns and stuff. I think that's gone. And maybe it's one of the good things.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It really is tough to not just do it as something on the side, man. I mean, you got to really hustle your ass off to make a legitimate living. And that takes all the fun out of it for me, I mean, personally speaking. Yeah, so when we get to Baltimore, we do the business, but we don't really go to shows much. We don't really, you know, once in a while. I'd like to do some more stuff in Richmond. We're like right between D.C. and Richmond.
Okay.
Yeah.
I looked on a map. Gated.
What
a name.
Baltimore and Richmond makes sense to me because they're a lot like Pittsburgh, which is where I'm from. So,
you know, what a name. Like, would you, let's give it a name that'll attract people. Let's call it Locust Grove. Jesus. Okay. We're at the end of the second hour. Yeah. Not a place, right? August 23rd, 2023, this Watt Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. August 23rd, 2023, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
大が永久に続くことが示唆されている。もしこの推測が正しければ、宇宙が膨張するのに伴い、宇宙は焼却され、最終的に命を生きることができなくなるというのが定説である。そのため、この宇宙の終焉のシナリオは熱帯史と一般に呼ばれている。
For Pedro show, start off the third hour with Mopar Mountain Daredevils, Night of the Screaming Eagle, and Victoria Shin after that with Flashlight Mouth. This is just an excerpt. She's working on some new devices. Incredible inventor with you know, the idea of contact mics. You know, you can put them on everything, right? She proves that. And then we had some more Mopar Mountain Daredevils with Across the Nine. Yeah, enlighten us. I mean, Mopar Mountain Daredevils.
Yes.
Is this a usual when you do gigs? Is this your live concern?
We have not. We're kind of reformed, and this is the first new thing we've done. We have the EP should be out in September. It's just vinyl and digital. And we're going to see how it goes from there. Everybody, it's funny, everybody in the band, we call it the Steely Dan of space rock, because it's like we're just all studio guys, and no one, you know, we play out, but not not as Mopar Mountain Daredevils. It's hard to get all six people in the same room. So, yeah. But yeah. I'm sure when the EP comes out, we'll be doing a couple shows. So,
well,
so
okay.
Keep your ears out.
That brings up an interesting thing, you know. How are the songs composed?
Either I or Rob come up with a riff, and Rob hammers a lot of it into shape. On the new album, the A side is a song I brought in. The B side is a lot of Rob's work hammering it all into shape, and then we can get Cotton and get some overdubs in on it. So.
Is it like you set up situations like with a groove and then people improvise?
On the first, on some songs are structured. Two of the songs on there are more open ended. It's just someone hits a groove, we just exploit it.
Right. Do you do Bill only music?
Excuse me.
Do you do like Bill? Only music, man alone.
I do, but I don't fancy myself much of a vocalist. I tend to give everything I do to Cotton, you know. We kind of work as a unit, you know. It's I really wouldn't probably be playing as much or doing anything musically because, you know, she brings that to me, you know. I mean, when we first met, I was more into just doing stuff, not really showing it, you know. I mean, the shelves here are littered with, you know, unreleased master tapes that'll never come out, you know. It's the stuff that leaks out is good enough for me, you know.
Kind of Franz Kafka mode.
If you must.
No, right? He asked his buddy, Menno Spahn, right, to burn all his stuff. Luckily, he didn't. Because we wouldn't have had the castle. We wouldn't have had America. We wouldn't have had the trial. A lot of his stuff.
Yeah. I wish a lot of my stuff was burnt. I have a feeling it'll rear its ugly head someday.
Okay. Cotton gave me two of these acid Mother Temple tunes. Hogwash and the Wizard. Let's listen. for Pedro show. Last music for this edition. Started that chunk off with Acid Mother's Temple doing Hogwash. Very Japanese word. And Physarum after that with Turnaround, brand new from them. And then Acid Mother's Temple again with The Wizard. I remember, is there a song like that on the first Black Sabbath album?
Yeah, that's a cover of that.
That's
yeah.
what I thought.
You can't tell, right?
I was wondering out loud there and stuff. That was during a tour, right? That's live.
No.
It's in the studio? Okay.
Yeah, that was one that Makoto mailed, caught in the tapes. She put her vocals on, mailed them back.
Yeah. I like it anyway when people change. When you make like a top 40 cover, you know, like some kind of Xerox cookie cutter thing, it's kind of jive.
Yeah,
it's jive.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So I'm glad it got changed, you know. And I bet you the Black Sabbath guys, they heard it. I think it's a beautiful version. And in the Hogwash, was this the same thing where Makoto sent tapes over to Cotton and she...
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and that's Motorcycle, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Motorcycle cover.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's not released yet. I don't know who's putting that out.
Okay, now you alluded to something that was coming out soon, right? The Mopar Mountain Daredevils. Is there a place people, if they wanted to hear Bill and Cotton music on the internet, is there a place they could go?
Yeah.
Monkey.
You can just go to monkeyrevolutionrecordings.com.
Whoa, okay. You got your own website. That's great. Monkey.
Yeah, and that links to Bandcamp and YouTube. We have a new single coming out that's kind of the first decent, like, duo thing we've done for a very long time. It's, I don't want to say it's socially conscious, but I don't know.
And what do you call it? Do you call it Bill and Cotton?
This is called Cotton Casino Overdrive.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't get any music from Cotton Casino Overdrive.
Yeah, it's about a week away from mixing. Maybe if I get to you before it gets on air, you can drop it. If not, I'll send you a copy.
I'll play it, of course. But what's the plan? Is it just to make one song or is it to make a whole album?
I want to keep putting music out basically for free digitally until we're in the next spot to do a good big. I like working in, you know, we all like working in big expensive studios. So until then, I'd like to just put out some stuff for free digitally. I just, I don't know. It's just. I've never paid money for downloads and streaming. I don't understand the whole deal. I know a lot of people make their money off that. I just don't I don't know. I've always just supported bands in other ways. Like I'm the vinyl t-shirt guy. Like if I want to support your band, I'm going to go out and spend $20 on a vinyl or a t-shirt or a tangible and just making money dollars at a time, just, I don't know, it's never been my style. But I just put it out there for free as a gift, you know. I mean, I just don't want to nickel and dime people. I just hope that when our next record is released in a tangible format that people want to invest in that and remember that we've been giving it to you for basically for free until then, you know.
Right. But yeah. They are two different music camps, right? The Mopar Mountain Daredevils and then the Cotton Casino Overdrive?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're both, like, got their own kind of, you know, trajectories and stuff. And I guess you're working the one band is the Mopar Mountain Daredevils. That's hard to put together because of different locations. It's a little easier for you and Cotton, yeah.
Yeah, but what's not easy for us is not having a lot of local musicians here, you know. We live in a lake community, so, you know, I put it out that, you know, it'd be to someone's advantage to come and do rhythm tracks for us. And we do get that a bit from time to time. For recording, we can find people. It's to find the right people that want to commit to go out the way we want to go out. We only want to go out like 3 or 4 days at a time. Neither one of us want to go out for a month or two at a time anymore. And either people want to go out all the time, or, you know, that's too much for someone that just wants to do weekends. They don't want to do like a 5-day thing or something. So, you know, it's been a little hard, but we haven't really been actively looking for people until a couple months ago. So I'm sure it'll, you know, we'll be more on the live playing by the end of the year, hopefully.
There's the other option too, like backing tracks, right? Laptop, press the space bar.
In a live situation?
Yeah, I know people who do it. I never have.
Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah,
is that allowed in rock and roll? Like? What the fuck?
I never done it. I know. Well, I was thinking more about means to an end. That's what I was thinking.
I know, man. Yeah, I've seen it. Hey, God bless you if you want to pull that off. No, I mean, actually, I have some friends that do it, but they do it very well, you know, and they're, you know, they're like studio pros, so it doesn't sound like that, and you can't really tell, you know. They can make two people sound like four just the way they have everything.
Well, I'll tell you what's a dead giveaway. If they're sitting at a fucking table.
Yeah. Oh, no, man. No. The bands that I like that do that definitely stand up, man. They're definitely playing their asses off.
Right. There's something about that, huh?
I could never. It just seemed, because the style of music I do is like, we're rocking out, dude.
If you have some
Psalm Ambulant kind of rhythm going on, but you know, when you hear some big ass drums coming, like a fucking what? They hiding John Bonham behind the fucking mixer. What's up? You know, it's like, where's that coming from?
yeah, absolute. Well, look, I'm putting the invite out. Whatever record gets done first, you know, or both at the same time. I want you back on the show when Mopar Mountain Daredevils and Cotton Casino Overdrive come out. Will you come back on Watch for Pedro's show? We can play it and talk about it.
I would love to, man.
Great. Righteous.
That would be great.
Righteous. Thank you so much. We had a good time. Can't wait till you're back.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, looking forward to trading some good stories next time, man.
Absolutely. August 23, 2023 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.